A few years ago now, well, to be honest, more than a few years, when I was about 10 or 11, my parents bought me a magazine called Understanding Science, which I think you can still get on eBay today, should you wish. At school, I'd already started developing an interest in science in general, and this magazine, which explained things so well, fueled my interest in human biology in particular, and led to the career path in pharmacy that I was eventually to follow. When you study it in detail, the human body is a fascinating piece of kit. And the more you study it, the more you realize the truth of those verses from Psalm 139 that say, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." And this verse, by the way, also tells us why abortion is so wrong. The Lord is knitting each of us together long before we were actually born. Who are we as image bearers of God to destroy things being made in His image? Having studied the human body, I never cease to be amazed at how it all works and hangs together, each bit doing its separate job, fearfully and wonderfully made indeed. Take, for example, the eye. Very complex piece of equipment. We've copied some of the workings of the eye to make our cameras, and I know some of you are interested in photography, because I see your photos on Facebook week by week. Each camera has a shutter, which is like the iris in our eye. It's got a lens to focus the image, like the lenses in our eyes. And it's got a film or a digital light-sensitive area at the back, just like the retina in our eye. But how often have you taken a photo and thought, that's not quite how I imagined the view to be. Or I don't remember it being that particular colour. I remember taking a photo of a sheep a few days ago down by Squire's farm. And when it came out, virtually the whole film was green. And it was nothing like that when I looked at it with my eye, but the camera just emphasize the green. Have you ever tried to photograph a sunset? I can never get it to be the same color that I saw with my eye, no matter how much I altered it. And that's because the eye is far better than the copy that we've made of it. Now, I know some of you haven't got brilliant eyesight, me neither. We have to wear glasses, we have to have our cataracts removed. Parts of our bodies do wear out, but that's not what God originally intended. We were intended to have a perfect, fully working body, and we will have when we see the Lord again, when He comes to call us home, or He appears in glory. We will have a perfect body like we were intended. There's more examples too of how we've copied bits of our bodies to try and make things. There's things like heart-lung machines, kidney dialysis machines, pacemakers, where we've copied the workings of the body, but they're either very bulky or don't quite work as well as the original was intended. Now, in these Bible verses from 1 Corinthians that we heard read earlier, Paul too must have been fascinated by the working of the human body, and he was inspired to see how the human body is very much like the church, the body of Christ. Let me read you the first couple of verses again. The body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The body is made up of many parts, as I'm sure you know. That's why we have so many consultants in our hospitals. One specialist for each different bit of the body. The skin, the heart, the lungs, etc. But too often, consultants can treat that part of the body they specialize in to the exclusion of everything else. But there's a growing movement called holistic medicine, which treats the body as a whole. Because we all know that if you have something wrong with one part of your body, it can affect everything else as well. Diabetes is a common example. It isn't just about how much sugar there is in your blood, for it can also affect your heart and your circulation, can affect your eyes, can affect your feet, and they all need treating as one condition instead of each separate bits. And the church here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is also described as a body composed of many parts like our own human body. And though we are one as a church, individually, we all make up the different parts of it with different jobs to do. Christ, of course, supremely is the head of the church. And like the head belonging to our own bodies, controls and directs the workings of the different parts. There's a terrible disease which I'm sure you've heard of called motor neurone disease, or MND. We've seen famous rugby players with it on TV recently. Sadly and gradually they become unable to speak and unable to talk, unable to walk until their whole body seizes up. It's a result of the changes in nerve fibres connecting the head to the rest of the body so that they don't communicate properly. And that causes the muscles involved in speaking and walking and eventually breathing to stop responding to the instructions from the head. Terrible wasting disease. And it's the same with the body of Christ. A church which doesn't follow the directions of Christ, its head, and where communications with him by prayer and Bible study ceases, will soon become an ineffective witness for him. Yes, it may still function as a social club and a chit-chat club, but it won't function as the church, as the body of Christ. Like the poor person with MND, it won't speak by proclaiming the gospel, and it won't move by going out and telling others about him. But it will slowly and surely die. Let's not let that happen here. Just like the body has many different parts, as we've said, if we are Christians, with the one Spirit of God living in us through repentance and faith, we've all been given different gifts by him. And unless we use our gifts pulling together, we can't function properly as the body of Christ. And just because you don't do what other people can do doesn't mean you're not part of the body either. Like Paul says in verses 14 to 19, Just like the body has many different parts, we too have different gifts. And each gift is useful in its own way. If we had a church full of preachers, if only we had a church full of preachers, who would do the brewing up? If we had a church full of Sunday school teachers, who would teach the adults? If we had a church full of evangelists standing at the street corner or knocking on doors to spread the word, who would do the paperwork? Just like the human body, which needs eyes and ears, noses and feet, etc., to function properly, so the body of Christ needs people with lots of different gifts to function properly as a church. Paul wrote to the church in Rome too, as well as to the church in Corinth, and on a similar theme from Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, he says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us." We don't all need to have the same gift, but we do need to use that gift for the benefit of the whole church. But there's a warning also in Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says this, For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. So just because you have one gift and somebody has what you might consider a lesser gift, dare I say, and there's a warning there from Paul not to look down on others. There's an old saying, never look down on anybody unless you're going to pull them up. And Paul is reminding us of that very fact, that every single gift is important to the church, just as every insignificant part of the human body is important. Even the appendix now, they think, might have some use in boosting the immune system, and it was often thought of as an insignificant part of the body. During this time when the church finds itself without a pastor to lead and teach, it's more important than ever that we each use the gifts that the Spirit has given us to bring unity to the church and to bring glory to His name. Just imagine if your ears stop working properly. You can imagine it by just putting one hand over your ear now, and it gets all echoey, doesn't it? Maybe it's full of wax. And it sort of puts the rest of your body out of sorts, doesn't it? You can't hear the TV because it's all echoey. Or you miss something important when you're talking to somebody because you can't hear them properly. It can be very frustrating just to have a simple thing like an ear full of wax. Or suppose the heart isn't working properly. That can affect your lungs too, so that you can't breathe as easily. And you become tired or dizzy very quickly. Can cause your legs to swell so that you can't walk as easily. Your hands and feet can become cold because the circulation isn't getting to them efficiently, and so on. One part of the body not working properly often has a devastating effect on the rest of the body. And it's the same with the body of Christ. If you have a gift and you're not using it, the rest of the body will suffer. More than ever, until the Lord brings the right man to pastor this church, we all need to pull together as one and show that the love and unity that this church was founded upon, even if you think your gift or contribution to the church is small, you should use it wherever you can, because you deserve greater honour by so doing. Look at verses 24 and 25 of 1 Corinthians 12. Where in the second half of verse 24 it says, God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. The whole point of this passage is that there should be no division among us. Yes, we may disagree about something sometimes, but we must do it carefully and with good grace so that you don't hurt each other. And as it says in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. You may not always agree, but you don't have to be disagreeable. And even this week, we've had Justin sharing with us his sorrow at the loss of his friend. And although Justin and Becky feel it more keenly, we're all with you, brother. And we're all suffering in a way with you because we feel your sorrow too. If you're a Christian, the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, will have given you a gift. That gift is not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of the whole church, so use it diligently. Some of the gifts are listed further on that we didn't read in verses 28 to 31. Apostles, prophets, teachers, gifts of administration, etc. But don't worry if you think your gift isn't there. There's plenty more. Ask God to carefully and prayerfully show you your gift and then use it in his service. But remember, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians goes on to remind us that the gift of love will be the only one needed in glory. And this is by far the greatest gift, the love we have for one another, and of course for the Lord himself. So in the meantime, discover and use your gifts to build up the church. For as it says further on in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 12, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, and the Corinthians seem to be very hung up on having gifts of various sorts, which some churches do today, unfortunately. Since you are eager to have spiritual gift, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. And that's the point of having a gift, to build up the church. Our own bodies, even when not in good working order, are still fearfully and wonderfully made. So let's do all we can with the Lord's help to ensure that the world outside sees the body of Christ is also in good working order, that we're all working together and each doing our bit as the Lord has blessed us with. Fearfully and wonderfully made through the blood of Christ shed on the cross for us, working together as a whole to serve him here in Great Harwood.